Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome in another hour of Doug Steffen's Good Day program. As you probably know, I'm also a farmer, and I love to share information about my farm and how you can benefit from the lessons I've learned and from other successful farm stories as well. So in this hour, I have a special preview of this weekend's American Family Farmer program to help you with your meal planning, backyard farming, whatever. It's the Good Day Farm Show, the American Family Farmer. This is the American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen, back for the last week of December, the last week of the year. And so what do we do with our time together? Do we talk about the same things that people always do with year-end shows? These were the biggest farm stories of the year. I don't feel much like doing that. Because I don't think that, I mean, we've been through a lot of the same things. Maybe toward the end of the program in my opining section, because I always set aside a few minutes at the end of the program to give you my opinion on an issue. But for now, let's start with something in the news department here on the American Family Farmer that is just a smile. It's just a way this lady got caught last week with a box of giraffe poop. She was seized by customs agent after she tried to bring the poop into our country. She said she wanted to make a necklace out of giraffe poop. She declared the box when she was, she was selected to have her belongings inspected when she came in at Minneapolis St. Paul. So she was brought into a room. Customs and Border Protection looked into her bag. This woman, by the way, is from Iowa. She told officials that she picked up the poop on a trip to Kenya. She had made a necklace with moose poop. So now she decided she wanted to make a necklace out of giraffe poop. And that's what she did. You can do it if you have the proper permits and inspections, according to the folks in Minnesota, but she didn't have that. Her name was LaFonda Burke, field director at Customs and Border Protection. That's the lady who went through all of this with the news media. She entered the U.S., had not declared the item, and so that's why she was stopped, and she got fined for bringing giraffe poop. So I wonder what would happen if we took dried cow poop. Here I am, my mind is going a mile a minute here. Dried cow poop, dried chicken poop, dried pig poop, right? What about, chickens make great poop. So what about a necklace out of chicken poop? Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't got anything better to do with your time, it's a slow week. So let's think about what we can do with various forms of feces. That'll be the headline. American Family Farmer program every week on the air. We have a website, AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, where you can go to listen to the previous programs. We also have every week a podcast at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, which basically includes the best bits and pieces of our conversations. Presently, if you go to AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com, you'll hear the conversation that I had with Michael Francis, who's the owner of a Japanese maple farm in New Jersey. It's pretty, this guy's been around. His family has had this farm for four or five generations, and he has found that this is a very productive way to use some of the land. They do other things. They have different varieties of vegetables there, too. But this is about the various varieties of Japanese maples. They're very expensive. I know I have a couple on one of my properties, and I've been told, I don't remember because I didn't plant them. They were there when I bought the property, but the value of them today, I was told by one nursery person, this particular Japanese tree, maple, whatever it is, was worth $25,000. Woo! So, if you're looking for an idea how to raise the value of your land, you want to raise Japanese maples, find out all about it at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. All right, let's focus on the hog market. Speaking of poop, hogs and pigs, we don't talk much about them in the news. We don't talk much about them at all on the American Family Farmer. And so I thought we ought to devote some time to what's going on in the pig market. 69 million market hogs last year. And of that, there were 69 million raised in America for the purposes of producing pork products. Ham, sausage, bacon, pork roasts and pork chops and all that sort of thing. The market is up from a year ago, according to the information that I see online here from the U.S. government. Hog producers are now, let's see, there are 6 million sows that were kept for breeding. I'm looking at the stats here, which is down a couple of points from last year. That is 2022. So what's the next year going to be? As we flip the calendar to 2024, one of the leaders in Iowa State University's field, they have a lot of different departments, obviously, because Iowa State's a big ag school. They have a hog and pork industry segment, I guess, teaching about what goes on in the pork business. I think I try to put this out of my mind because it so annoys me what the Chinese position is in U.S. agriculture. So every once in a while I blank out on Smithfield. Smithfield is the name of the pork company that China has bought, largest pork producer not only in America but around the world, and now China owns them. There are a lot of American companies that are owned by the Chinese government these days. I'll bet you don't know who half of them are. If you want to tune into the Good Day program Monday through Friday, I'll go through sometime this next week a list of the companies that are owned by the Chinese government. In a moment, I'm actually going to spend more time talking about China and agriculture, starting with how much land the Chinese own here in America. That's up next here, this week's American Family Farmer.
Your brain is an amazing thing. But as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times national survey of pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all-natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that, when combined, really keep things moving. I drink it every day, and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is life change tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to getthetea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's getthetea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
The
Bavarian Family Farmer, continuing now. Doug Steffen here this week with a focus on, to a point, this past year and what we have talked about, what's been the important news that farmers have gravitated to, and what more importantly is probably the future, this next year. What are we going to be talking about? How much pipeline growth is there in the United States? How much of the farmland that we now are using is going to be given over to oil pipelines? That's something that there's good and bad to that, and there's also obviously different feelings. A lot of people struggle with the idea of having pipelines in environmentally sensitive areas. Well, we get into that whole thing when it comes to the environment and farming in general. And you know who the worst offenders are? If you look around at the reports from various departments of ag around the country, the Chinese now own 380,000 acres of land. This is something that a lot of people haven't the slightest idea, and I think those of us in the agricultural community need to be harping on this a little bit more than we do. China owns 380,000 acres of farmland here in the United States. And there have been moves afoot to stop the Chinese from buying more land. Lawmakers in various states have all around North America, have tried to, in some way, shape, or form, curb or make illegal the fact that Chinese corporations are buying U.S. assets, and much of it is farmland. The Chinese investors that buy up land, they all know how valuable it is. Why are we letting them do that? Why? What is the legislation in Congress restricts these Chinese purchases of U.S. farmland, but they run up against a buzzsaw because most of the politicians and the bureaucrats have ties to the Chinese food industry. You look at the members of the Ag Committee and see who's donating to them for their campaign, their reelection campaign. It's chock full of Chinese influence. Look at how much money is given by the people who are running Smithfield to the campaigns. Remember when, what was it, Citizens United, law that was, it went through the Supreme Court and was, the end result was that corporations could be treated like people and they could give as much money as they wanted to various campaigns. And so that's what's going on. That's why there's so much money. This year, it's estimated that $8 billion will be used to finance elections, re-election campaigns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And $1 billion of those dollars, listen to this, $1 billion of those dollars will come from Chinese interests. People trying to, we're crazy. And the most, the area in our country that it affects most is the agricultural section. And I just find it abhorrent. I mean, this is, I can look at the various studies and I brought it to your attention. Now you do what you will with the information. One of the things from Kansas this week, the monitoring of cases of avian flu. There are a couple of counties that have a real bad time. This is something that's been going on back and forth, and it seems to not be identified with one particular area of America. It seems to spread around. And so this area of Kansas, there are millions and millions of birds in Kansas, and I think there are 21 cases, according to officials. So what does that mean? We should run for the hills? No. But what they did was they monitored a 12-mile zone around a couple of these farms where they had avian influenza. This has been something that is very, it's almost impossible to get rid of it other than getting rid of all of the birds. So I think that's going to be a story that will continue into 2024. If I can pick one out right now, that's what's on my radar. This is the American Family Farmer. Doug Steffen here. We'll be talking to the lady who wrote the book about Malabar Farm and what it does for the ideas of sustainable agriculture here in America in just a few moments. So stand by for that here on this week's American Family Farmer.
have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Here's to the farmer, the plants, the fields, and the spring. The turn from green to that harvest honey.
23 and change after the hour now. And this week's American Family Farmer, as we cap through the year, not necessarily a year in review, but if you think about one of the influences of this past year, it's been a focus on land, conservation, sustainable agriculture. So we've invited to be on the program this week Annalise Abbott, who is a researcher, basically focusing on the history of organic and sustainable agriculture. Been working on that for about 10 years. And so she's written a book called Malabar Farm, focusing on the friends of the land, you turn the first page and the second page, the rise of sustainable agriculture. Annalise, thanks for joining us. Happy New Year from us here on the American Family Farmer. What in your mind is the correct definition of sustainable agriculture? What in your research have you come upon over and over and over again that leads you to believe, okay, this is what the focus on sustainable agriculture means?
Well, that's a good question because there are, of course, many definitions of sustainable agriculture, and depending on who you ask, they will give you a different definition. But I would say that one that most people would agree on is that it's a way of farming today that does not impair the ability of future generations to also be able to farm and use natural resources.
Are you a farm kid? Did you grow up on the farm?
On a homestead, not really a big farm, but a little homestead in Michigan with goats, chickens, bees, garden.
How do you think that affects your thinking about this issue these days?
Oh, it affects it a lot because I've seen both the small scale and the large scale agriculture because I live in an agricultural area. So I feel like I have probably a different perspective than someone who was raised in a city.
Mm-hmm. And so the term sustainable, I also want to get a sort of a working definition from you as to the term sustainable agriculture. Does that, I think for me anyway, I talk to people all the time and it means different things to different people. What does it mean to you?
Well, to me, it also means working with nature, trying to do things as natural as possible. And then again, as I was talking about, the way of farming so that we leave the land in better shape for future generations than it was when we found it, a way of using it without abusing it and of replenishing the resources rather than using them up.
So I'm a big believer in this. I don't, I have a farm. I raise a lot of hay and corn to feed mostly my own animals. I breed replacement heifers, Jerseys, for the most part. And I have always been organic, even though I've never really been declared organic. I just think that the principles are much healthier. I don't use chemical fertilizers, et cetera, et cetera. It's a choice that I've made. And I made it after looking at land that had been, in my mind, abused by things continually being added or, if you will, sprayed onto the land. Much of the stuff comes from Monsanto, but not all of it. And so the dirt that I observed from looking at the stuff that had not been applied with Monsanto chemicals and the stuff that had been, the stuff with the, like, Roundup, I mean, that's the most common use, but there are plenty of other chemicals. You and I both know what they are, that cause the earth to become like clay. It's hard and cold. And I don't mean to over-dramatize it, but it's pretty obvious the organic stuff has flaky, it's dirt rather than clay. It feels like dirt. So, in my mind, that's the difference. You can tell very easily by looking at the stuff that comes from the organic side of the street versus that which has become conventional agriculture. So we'll continue with this conversation to focus on the book and the work that's being done by Annalise Abbott. Doug Steffen here on this week's American Family Farmer.
First things first, you should offer, not ask, to renegotiate. I'm Holland Cook with Inflation Hacks. For instant savings, make a list. Video and music streaming services, insurance premiums, your cable bill, your cell phone plan, that gym membership you stopped using by February, all those recurring costs that hit your credit card like clockwork every month. And about that card, tell them you want a lower rate. Many who do get one. And if you don't, because credit cards are stealing each other's customers, sign up for a new one with an introductory 0% balance transfer offer so you at least stop the clock on what you already owe. How are you coping? Post your inflation hacks at andyoucanquoteme.com.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times national survey of pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. In the first 2 months of the fiscal year, 30 people attempting to enter the country illegally at the southern border have been apprehended and their names found on the FBI's terror screening database.
It comes across as uncontrolled management. It is not good. It's not good for us who live down here on the border.
Monica Weisberg-Stewart with the Texas Border Coalition says this serves as a warning for the entire nation. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas are currently in Mexico meeting with President Lopez Obrador. The focal point of the discussions, as stated by the U.S. State Department, will be the unprecedented migration and border security challenges. Israel is currently showing what it claims to be the largest Hamas tunnel discovered to date. The same time, a communications blackout has affected most of the Gaza Strip due to Israel's expansion of its ground invasion into the central part of the region. John Schaefer, USA News.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Past the hour now, you're listening to Doug Steffens' Good Day. Let's get back to this special preview of this weekend's American Family Farmer program. It'll help you with ideas for your eating, your meal planning, and if you want to have a garden, we got all the info here. Plus, how to be a successful farmer. That's all part of the American Family Farmer.
34 past the hour now. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. This week, we are focusing on the history of organic farming. As a matter of fact, Annalise Abbott, who's the author of Malabar Farm, has an expansive website, frankly, historyoforganic.com. All right, so Annalise, in focusing on the things in your book, I was brought back to the Dust Bowl of the 1920s, the Depression, and how much of America's farmland got blown away. Did this, the idea of organic, come out of that time, or is it just maybe land conservation in general?
Well, what came came out of the Dust Bowl was the idea of soil conservation, which is very much a part of organic farming. They did not use the term organic farming, but it was all about restoring soil organic matter, keeping the soil covered with vegetation, especially so that it wouldn't erode either in the wind or in rain erosion in wetter areas. And so Hugh Bennett, who was the founder of the Soil Conservation Service, he was very into building organic matter, what they called vegetative methods of erosion control, which were based on the plant ecology of the 1930s. All of that was a very big part of the soil conservation movement through the 1930s and 1940s, at least up to about 1950.
So under the circumstances, what we have now is a return to what we did before. And some of the best practices that we think are new and modern aren't really that way at all. Soil conservation has been on people's minds, not only here in America, but I think around the world. Don't you think, you know, we tend to think of ourselves as the, you know, this is the new big movement, but this is not, it's been around for 100 years. Actually, the fact that agriculture, as we know it today, developed over tens of thousands of years, in a manner of speaking, if you, you know, you really objectively look at this, we couldn't have the farms that we have today if it weren't for people who were conservationists, who were conservation-minded over the centuries, not just in the most recent decades. Is that, don't you think that's an, kind of an objective view of this whole, of the whole movement?
Yes, and I would even go further than that to say that American agriculture before the soil conservation movement was very, it had a lot of problems. It was very erosive. The yields were very low. And so conventional agricultural scientists will give most of the credit for the rise in agricultural yields since the 1930s to chemicals and to better varieties. But a lot of it really should go to soil conservation, because soil conservation really was what made it possible to actually raise yields and all that. If it hadn't been for soil conservation, none of the chemicals or anything would have even helped. They would have just made things worse, as in fact, commercial fertilizers were being used quite widely before the Dust Bowl, but they were not increasing yields because the soil was eroding.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about Malabar Farm. You write about this particular farm and how it is a good example of sustainable agriculture. Am I reading between the lines here?
Yes, it's a really good case study of the soil conservation movement.
And how, in terms of the soil conservation movement, you bring us around to understanding what organic farming is. Has been, and its future. Do you believe that organic farming is the only way that land, or is it the best way that land can be preserved, either or both of those things?
I do think it is the best way. I wouldn't have said that maybe even when I wrote the book, but I have been interviewing so many organic farmers since then that I think that good organic farming done right with a focus on nutrient cycling and building up soil organic matter, I do believe now that that is the best way to farm and the most sustainable.
Okay, but how do we translate that into big ag? Because, you know, we all know, those of us who have small, this program is aimed at making small family farms successful, coming up with ideas, plans, if you will, to make it better for the smaller family farmer. But we can't disassociate ourselves from big ag. And so I'm wondering if this has any hope of moving into that circle, because most of the big ag outfits that I know of don't really give a doggone about soil conservation. Maybe that's not fair, but I think that there's much more focus on the smaller family farms as to the quality of the soil, the way you protect the soil, than there is in the big ag circles, frankly. You can disagree if you think I'm wrong.
A lot of it is this idea that you can't farm organically on a big scale. I think if the people that farmers were getting their information from were able to give them practical information on how to do it, because it has been done. And of course, a lot of what Lewis Bromfield did, he wasn't 100% organic because he did use some chemical fertilizers, at least in the beginning, but he never used the pesticides. And the big emphasis there, of course, was on grass farming. And, of course, he integrated the crops and the livestock. And that's a big thing. But I think the biggest barrier toward all of agriculture going organic is a mindset. that it's not possible. If that mindset wasn't there, there are plenty of farmers who are doing it and are doing it well. And I think if the people that farmers were to get their information from, especially like, say, seed companies or agricultural extension and all that, if they were to promote organic farming and explain how feasible it is, I do think it would catch on a lot faster.
So who is this guy Bromfield? He's not, this is the guy who goes back 100 years, right? This is not today. This is the story of this fellow's farm going back in history.
So Bromfield was actually a novelist. He grew up on a, he didn't really grow up on a farm. His grandfather had a farm that he visited when he was a boy, and then he went to France, and he was a famous novelist and kind of traveled the world. But then right before World War II, when Hitler was about to invade France, Bromfield saw that coming and went back to the United States. And his original idea was like to have a self-sufficient farm, and eventually he realized that wasn't really practical. And that was when he got connected with the soil conservation movement and this organization, Friends of the Land. And so they taught him about soil conservation, and then he got really excited about it and basically devoted the rest of his life to just promoting that cause of soil conservation and working with nature to make farming better.
This is a farm that's in Ohio, operated today by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Let's talk about that and focus on what we can learn from Bromfield and the farm as we apply it to modern farming today. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Focus on the book Malabar Farm, written by Annalise Abbott.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-362-9337. 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Back on the American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen at the end of the year with a lady who's done a lot of great research and sort of put two things together. The story of Malabar Farm and the book that was written by this fellow we're talking about, Lewis Bromfield, and what Annalise has done with a review sort of revival and a manner of speaking. Is that fair? Do you think that I'm being fair when I talk about what you've done as sort of a revival of what he first wrote about?
I hope so, yeah. I'm hoping that it will trigger a lot more interest in Bromfield and also in these other soil conservationists of the 1930s and 40s and that whole movement that has been largely left out of histories.
So the farm is operated not by, it's not a commercial farm anymore. It's a farm operated by the state of Ohio. So why is that good or not? Is it practical? Most of these places that are run by either organizations that are nonprofit or states, I find not necessarily always to be on the top of the list of places that give you the best ways of surviving in the commercial world. That's kind of an awkward way of saying that it's not reality. That's what my experience is anyway. What do you find?
Well, I haven't been to Malabar since 2018, so I can't really say how they're managing it at the moment. It has been controversial ever since the state took over as to whether to try to make it the best in modern farming or to just keep it more historical. And as I outline in the book, they've tried both over the years with varying success. They were managing it according to what they considered good sustainable practices in 2015 when I was there, but in a conventional way. So no-till with Roundup, and they did give the cattle some grass, but there's been a lot of pushback from the Ohio Department of Agriculture to not have it go all the way organic, at least in the past. And I'm not sure if that has changed yet, so I can't really say as to how it's operated right now. But yes, because of all the political factors being operated by the state, it has not necessarily been a current show place of the best in sustainable or organic agriculture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there's a practical side to this, and there are those who, and I say this lovingly, the same sort of approach that we have to climate change. There are those who take a practical approach, which I think is the most important and the best way to have credibility. And then there are people who have the rigidity that doesn't allow for some flexibility in the terms of organic farming. You have written a number of articles for Acres USA magazine. Is this something I'm not familiar with? I never came upon it before. What is the story of that magazine, and why do we pay attention to it, other than the fact that you've written a lot of articles for it?
Well, Acres USA magazine was started by Charles Walters in 1972, I think. And it was about eco-agriculture, which was to make agriculture both ecological and economical. So it was one of several. There was also, at the time, Organic Gardening magazine. There was Countryside magazine. There was Mother Earth News. I think Acres was probably all along geared more toward different inputs. They focused a lot on mineral fertilizers at that time. They're focusing more on biological inputs at this time, which is probably what has differentiated it over the years a little bit from the other magazines that were not necessarily quite so input focused.
One of the things that you read about that I was very intrigued about is composting. I have a big composting operation on my farm. We don't use lawn clippings, for example, because there's too much in the commercial landscaping business. People are spraying lawns to make them greener all the time, and God knows what's in that stuff. So we don't take that. We do take leaves. We take food scraps. And once in a while, when one of my animals passes away on the farm, I put them into the composting facility as well. So in terms of composting, we again think today, wow, we're right on it. But composting has been going on, maybe not called composting, but it's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Yes. And a lot of the modern composting is based on both the work of Sir Albert Howard in India. And he did that in the 1920s and 1930s. And then also F.H. King was a soil scientist from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And he traveled to China, Japan, and Korea in 1909 and saw their traditional composting methods there. And so his book was one of the ones that Howard read. And that is what we consider the foundation of modern organic farming, as distinguished from traditional farming methods.
All right, this book, Malabar Farm, is available at your website, historyoforganic.com. Where else can people find it? I'm imagining it's on Amazon as well, yes?
Yes, it's from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any major bookseller, and I have links to all of those on my website.
Historyoforganic.com is the website. Annalise Abbott is the author, and our focus here on the history of organic and this particular farm, it's a good read. So check it out. Annalise, thank you for being here, and Happy New Year.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Past the hour now on the American Family Farmer program. I'm Doug Steffen with an overview of the modern world of agriculture. This is the point I every week take a few minutes to give you my thoughts on something that's going on in the world of agriculture. Sometimes it's general, sometimes it's specific. One of the great trends, and I use great in quotation marks this past year, has been the world of gardening on top of buildings. There are a lot of people that have provided a lot of huge real estate investment trusts that have made farming on the rooftop of buildings in New York, Los Angeles, any big city, and not only here in America, but as far away as Dubai. That's a place that, you know, there's really no agriculture there. It's in the desert. And yet these things have been cropping up, pardon the pun. And so this is, it's become a place actually for artistic expression as well as scientific research, gardens on rooftops, gardens in general. The wonders of the world, this botanical reality, as I've started calling it that, is really in a world of its own. And it may be that it evolves to become
particularly crucial element of society in that this is going to be a way that cities provide more and more food to the residents of the city. As land becomes more scarce, as food production becomes more expensive, and as people sort of demand, you know, they're beginning to realize now what's going on in the world of sustainability, and that word gets overused, but the modern grocery store and the big chains that control them. Now, there are certain, I'm thinking about Los Angeles, certain places where there are local food chains like Bristol Farm and Gelson's that have many of the same products in them that the big stores have, but they present them differently, and then they do add some things. I think Gelson's a good place. Bristol Farm is very good. You know, there are lots of holes. You can't swing a dead cat around here where I am in California this week in Santa Monica without hitting a Whole Foods market. They become quite the rage out here. And is the food different? Yeah, kind of. It's not as good as it used to be before it was independently owned, before Amazon bought them. But there still is some decent quality. It's so expensive, though. And this is one of the things that I think farmers can work on and turn to their advantage. The reason that stores are... It's not that the food isn't worth it. It's that where's the money going? The producer that's working and producing... I'm overusing the word, but it's the most applicable word here, that are responsible for the food that you're buying in these stores. The bigger the quantity, the more the profit, so they think. It's like dairy. You know, we have prices in milk going up, so we'll buy more cows. Well, that's not always the way to success. It's becoming now more apparent that sometimes the less you grow, depending again on the circumstances, where you are, the more productive, like turkeys, for example. I think we had on this program a couple of weeks ago somebody who was a turkey farmer, and he started out with 100 a year, and then it was 1,000, and then it was 5,000, and he found that he wasn't making as much money raising 5,000 as he could raising 3,000. So people were willing to pay, and that's why I come up with it, because it's the most recent example of how people specialize in an area of agriculture, and then they hone down what the best way is to grow or produce the product that they're producing, and then they come up with a number that's realistic. This fellow is making $100 on average a turkey, and he sells 3,000 of them to the local folks in the community who appreciate what he's doing, who understand the value of a good turkey. Now, you can go into a supermarket and you can buy a turkey for $29, but what are you getting? That's the question. And I think this applies across the board to food in general. But to go back to some of the gardens in some of the cities, I was looking at a city in Morocco that has made tremendous strides in rooftop gardening. And there's another one in France, and certainly we have them here. But they're quite lush, they're quite productive, and I think that there's something that is going to be a part of the future. So I had a couple of different approaches thinking about how we can proceed and what our focus should be as we move ahead into 2024. I'm Doug Steffen. Look forward to having you with me next year on the American Family Farmer.
This program was produced at Bob K. Sound and Recording. Please visit bobksound.com.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.